We're going to be in Joshua chapter 1 this evening. My wife gave me one instruction, be quick in my introduction so the ladies could get down there. They have a lot to cover tonight. So we tried to move along quickly. But we're looking forward to studying here the Jordan River Rules, and we are in lesson number 3. I know Pastor has covered the first two, and so first week I know we looked at verses 1 and 2 there of Joshua chapter 1, and then the last time 2 weeks ago, I covered verses 3 through 9, and so we are going to begin in verse 10 here this evening, and looking forward to this. Now in the previous lessons, in the first 9 verses, it was not Joshua doing the speaking, it was the Lord doing the speaking to Joshua. And what a great passage there, the first 9 verses of Joshua. So much truth there, and what great promises from God, specifically to Joshua, but boy, we can learn from these promises as well. Aren't you thankful for the presence of the Lord? Just as He was with Joshua, He is with us. And just the challenge there to move forward, as we looked at the first week, and the different stages and steps of life there that we looked at. But now we come down to verse 10. And so it's a total shift here this evening. And notice this, verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. So picture this, you've got the children of Israel and the tribes there, and they are encamped near the Jordan River there on the east side of the Jordan River. And Joshua calls the officers of the tribes together, the leaders of the people. They have a powwow. They have a meeting. And notice this, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And these are the main verses we're going to look at here this evening, just a couple verses. But actually, we're going to finish up through verse 18 here. At the end here this evening. But verse 11 there, kind of our key verse, our springboard verse here this evening. It's interesting here, as they come to the land, to the promised land, the key is, and the title of this chapter, don't mess up now. We traveled to Florida over Easter to visit my in-laws. They were down there. And so we traveled down there. We drove. It was about a 13-hour drive. And we, as a family, we make it a habit, you know, on a big trip like that, we always ask the Lord's blessing on our trip before we go. And when we're home or just about home, we thank the Lord for His goodness. We don't take safety for granted, especially driving on 95, right? And so we had left Florida. We left at like 4:30 in the morning. We traveled back and we were a couple miles from home. I'm like, how about if we go ahead and thank the Lord now? And one of the kids spoke up, you know, Dad, why do it now? We're not home yet. They said, most accidents happen within 2 miles of home, right? And you hear the statistics. I'm like, well, it's good to thank the Lord anyway. But we laughed about it. We talked through. But, you know, to travel all that ways, it would be a shame to get in an accident right before you get home. It's funny, the author of the book told a story. They were ministering over in Japan. And he bought a special tea set for his daughter who was back here in the States. And so they flew home. You know, he carefully packed it under the seat in the airplane. And then when they switched planes, it ended up in a bin on another plane. And he carefully packed it up there. And they got it home in one piece. 6,638 miles. They made it home. And the daughter came over and he got it out. They were so looking forward to giving it to her. And just as he was handing it to her, this special teacup fell and cracked right there, just at the finish line. And the key here, don't mess up now that we're there. And you think about this with the children of Israel. You think of what God had done through the land of Egypt and God's incredible deliverance. And He brought them out of Egypt and He defeated the Egyptians there in the Red Sea. And they passed by Mount Sinai. And they came to the edge of the promised land and they sent the spies in and the folks would not go in. They messed up right there at the end. So here we are 40 years later, and here we go with another opportunity. And the key to this lesson, don't mess up now. We're here. It's time to move forward. Let's step up to the moment. And that is the title here today, Step Up to the Moment. So let's take a look through this. How are the children of Israel supposed to move forward? Look with me the first thing here in verse 11. And in verse 11, there's a perfect alliterated outline, all the P's in verse 11. Notice the first thing here. Notice what he says, pass through the host and command the people. So Joshua is speaking to the officers of the people, the leaders of each tribe. And if they're going to move forward successfully, the importance of leadership shines forth here. The leaders have to play a key role in this. Can you imagine trying to get the entire nation of Israel from this side of the river to the other side of the river successfully? And you think about that challenge. That's a pretty big challenge. And so, as we're thinking about this, this giant nation of Israel, these leaders are so important. And this was before the day of electronics. I mean, they didn't send out an email to everyone. Okay, here's the plan. Okay, so he's communicating to these officers, and they've got the responsibility of communicating then to the people. You know, when I was looking of making the transition from becoming a teacher to a principal, it's interesting, this matter of leadership. It's being the role of a teacher versus that of a principal. Talk about night and day difference. I enjoyed being a teacher. I wasn't looking to transition, but the school I was at, they asked me to make the change. And we prayed about it, and we felt like it was the step the Lord wanted us to take. And so the school I was at, they did a transition year where I taught in the morning, and then in the afternoon we focused on administrative stuff and got me some administrative training there. And it's interesting, the gentleman that was training me, he was a very godly man, a great guy, had been an administrator for a while, but the school was kind of struggling at the time. And we had a large high school, and we had small elementary classes. Well, what happens, you graduate 25 students, and you bring in 10 students, do that about 3 years in a row, and that's not doing a good job building for the future, right? And so the school was shrinking, and it was struggling. And that was about the time I transitioned in. And I, in my year of training, great guy, I learned so much from him, but there was one overriding philosophy that was not good that I learned. And I didn't necessarily realize that at the time, but how many times did I hear, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. And, you know, if things are going okay, don't make waves, don't rock the boat. Well, so basically I was being instructed, okay, you lead this school, and as this ship is sinking, you lead it down peacefully, right? That's not good philosophy. You know, there's a time to move forward. And as a leader, it was my responsibility to step up and take charge there. And the Lord brought someone into my life who gave me that guidance. And he just point blank asked me, is the school moving forward or not? And I'm like, well, not really. We're kind of just maintaining. He says, no, you're not. You're moving backwards then. You're either moving forward or you're sliding backwards. And that was one of the key lessons that I learned in running a school. And you think about this, you know, in our leadership positions that God has given us, you know, are we moving forward in the direction God wants us to? Are we pushing forward? With a school, we are always pushing forward. We want to get better. We are not perfect here. But we know what direction we want to head. We want to continue to improve. You know, when I came for an interview here and I met with the parent advisory committee or the committee they had, we met back in the lobby back there, off the room off to the side there, the parlor or the conference room. We met there for about 2 hours one Sunday night after church, and they grilled me with a bunch of questions. And one of the questions they asked me, okay, as a principal, are you more of a leader or are you more of a manager? And he said, which is more important? And I said, yes, they both are important. And you know, as we look at our role as leaders, We want to consider three areas here that I think are key, even from this verse that we see. You know, first, there is the area of management as a leader. You know, if you are a leader of your home, if you're a dad, if you're a mom, you're a leader with the kids there. If you're a leader at work, if you're a leader in the church, maybe a leader of a group, maybe you coach a soccer team, you know, a little kid soccer team or something. In a leadership position, one area of consideration is this area of management. You know, there are daily going to be struggles that come up if you are a leader, no matter what the situation at home. You know, if you're a parent, you understand there are challenges that come up. If you're a leader of an organization, there are challenges that arise. And you know what? We need to deal with those issues as managers. We need to face those. That's critical. You know, nice thing as a principal, we get a summer break here in a few weeks, right? We can regroup. As a parent, you don't get the opportunity to regroup necessarily. It's 24/7, right? And I understand that. And yet as we look at this, as we deal with those problems, you know what? If we don't deal with things, they don't disappear. In fact, I find they tend to grow if we don't deal with them. So I just want to challenge us as we think of the children of Israel stepping forward, there is the issue of management, but even more importantly, there's this issue of direction. Notice what is said here in this verse. He said, pass through the host and command the people. They need instruction. What do they need to do? And you know, as leaders in our different situations, you know, we can get so busy with the management of things, and so busy in the rat race of life and dealing with the daily things and just trying to keep our heads afloat that we fail to provide the long-term leadership, the big picture. You know, where are we headed? And what is the end picture here for the children of Israel? Go through and command the people. Help them know what to do. And I want to challenge us just in our thinking, you know, in those that you are leading, are you casting the vision? Do you have the vision where we want to go? You know, all of us come from a family. What is your vision for your family? Where do you see your family in 5 years? In 10 years? In 20 years? Where do you see things? Okay, where do we want to go? What is our vision? What is our long-term vision? How do we get there? Are we taking the steps now? If we step back and look at things, if we take the time just to step back and look at things, what we're doing now, where is that going to lead us? Is it going to lead us to the intended destination? You see, once again, the urgent can overtake the important if we're not careful. And so how do we get there? Take a picture. What do we want to be? Proverbs 4:26 says this, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. What a great verse. You know, and a couple weeks ago, we looked at there are different stages or seasons of life. And then within those seasons, there are steps. If you remember Pastor covering that, the steps that we take. And you know what? Those steps lead us somewhere. Are they leading us to the place where we want to go? You know, maybe you're single. Are your steps leading you the direction you want to go in your life? Maybe you have young kids in your home. What are the steps we're taking? Where are those steps leading us? You know, maybe you're retired. Some people get lost in retirement. Okay, what's my purpose here? Where am I headed? Hey, keep pushing forward. What is the direction we're headed? Sure, we go through different seasons. And some seasons, God wants us to wait. But a big picture, are we moving forward? Are we on the path, living with purpose? So we see this matter here for these leaders. Pass through the host and command the people. You know, one more thought of this leadership. Command the people, there's communication involved. Now, I don't know if any of you struggle with communication like me. Communication is a struggle. You know, I'm thinking one thing, but I don't always communicate so well. Working with kids, we just had our athletic award ceremony last night. And it was fun to honor different kids. I work with the soccer team, And each year we have captains on the soccer team, and they are an extension of the coach. I always tell them, you are an extension of me. If anything happens, you're the first person I'm coming to. Because you've got to step in. I mean, you're an extension of me, so I'm coming to you. I have high expectations for you. But you know what? Sometimes I have expectations, and they don't meet those expectations. And it's easy to get frustrated with them. But you know what? Usually, in that case, where's the problem? It's usually not with them. It's usually with me not communicating to them well and helping them and communicating those expectations. As leaders, are we communicating clearly? You think about this communication. I mean, to move the children of Israel across the Jordan River, how is this going to take place? The communication is so important, the key. Without any electronics, without anything else, they successfully did this. And so as we see this, notice the first thing, pass through the host and command the people, saying, now notice the next thing, look at this, prepare you victuals. The next thing is, hey, let's prepare. All right, so we've got our leadership, officers, we need you to do this. Now I want you to prepare the victuals, the things you need for this trip. Instruct the people. And notice who was supposed to prepare now. Notice this. First he was talking to the officers, but notice he says, pass through the host, command the people saying, prepare you victuals, the things you need for this trip. So notice this. Here's delegation now. He's putting it on the people. Hey, you prepare what you're going to need for this trip. We are ready to go. We are leaving this camp. We are going to cross this river. All right, so prepare what you need. Let's get ready to go. You know, as believers, we need to make sure we are preparing ourselves for what God has called us to do. Do you know we can disqualify ourselves or put us in a position, not disqualify necessarily, but put us in a position where we're not ready to serve. That if God called us to do something, we really couldn't do it. My wife and I used to work with the singles back in Indiana. We did this for about 12 years. We worked with the college and career group. And you talk about an exciting group. It's a fun time. There is a lot happening in lives at that age. And the kids would come home from colleges and we would have up to like 60 kids in our group times. Other times, they'd go away to college and our group would shrink way down to about 10 kids. And it's funny, we enjoyed both seasons, but we love the college and career kids. One of the young ladies graduated with an elementary education degree. She had been homeschooled, she went off to college, got an elementary education degree, came home, and she was in our group there. For about a year and a half then with us. And she had been with us in college as well. And she talked to us. She said, hey, can I talk to you one night? And she talked. And after college, she had come home. She was living at home with her parents, decided not to go into teaching right away. But then an opportunity came up in another state. And she was considering, you know, is the Lord want me to do this? Is this the job that I should pursue? And she talked with us and we talked through. And as we got talking, we weighed the positives, weighed the negatives, you know, talked about praying through. You know, what will God have you to do? And the young lady's name was Katrina. And as we talked through, Katrina told us there's one big thing holding me back, though. She said, I have credit card debt. We're like, okay, you have credit card debt. Do you have college debt? Nope. College was all taken care of. But she's living at home. She's working. And she's like, to tell you the truth, you know, I really don't even know what I've spent it on, but I've got about $3,000 or $4,000 worth of credit card debt. And she's talking about going and teaching in a very small school where she's not being paid a lot. And she had put herself just through careless living, just through some stupid spending when it's not like it was necessities of life. She just kind of used her credit card freely and she got herself in a hole that when we talked through it and when she talked through it with her parents, taking this job, there's no way she was going to be able to pay off that credit card debt right away. This kind of stupid debt limited her in being ready to do what God may have been calling her to do. And that's just one example. But folks, we can limit ourselves just by lack of preparation. You know, as we think about this, some areas. One area, financially, if we're not careful there. Another area, how about time management? You know, we can limit ourselves in what God wants us to do if we're not managing our time wisely. We live in a busy world, in a busy society. Teaching young people, you know, one of the temptations for young people are computers and video games and staying up late at night and not getting the sleep you need. And I've talked with college students who have failed out of college because they stay up late playing video games at night. You know, time management, preparing ourselves for what God is calling us to do. How about physically taking care of our bodies, taking care of ourselves, getting to bed like we mentioned, getting exercise, just trying to take care of our bodies. How about growing just as a person when God is preparing us? Some things God may call us to do that are very small, but we grow in those areas. Maybe God wants you to teach a Sunday school class and you say, oh, I could never teach fourth grade boys. Those guys are scary. But you know what? Maybe that's a great place to start. I remember when my wife and I got married, when we started serving, I started ushering. That was kind of like my first call of duty when we first got married, ushering. I loved ushering. I enjoy ushering. It was fun. I enjoyed dealing with people, telling people what to do, right? No, I'm joking. No, I was gracious, but helping people find a seat, you know. I enjoyed ushering. My wife started teaching Sunday school, and we found out we were kind of being pulled in different directions. We're like, let's serve together. So then we took on happy class together, working with 2 and 3-year-olds. That's kind of like on the backside of the desert for me. But it was great. Some people, it's just natural. My wife is such a good teacher with them. I would lead the singing. We had a good time. We served together. But you know what? The Lord grew us through that. We started greeting together. What a great ministry. I love greeting. I think greeting's awesome. We had Samuel. Samuel was small at the time. We had him greet. We wanted to train him to be a greeter. Just a way we could use our talents to serve the Lord. And it's just neat to see it when you look back how God has grown us in different opportunities and different ways. And you think, boy, I could never do that. Well, you don't have to start there. Start here. But are we investing? Are we serving the Lord? Are we moving forward? Once again, this whole thought. Are we prepared? As Joshua instructed the people here, notice this. Prepare you victuals. Get everything ready because we're going to cross over. All right, so the second thing is prepare. Notice the third thing here. The third thing. For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan. The third P here is pass over the Jordan River. Now it's interesting. Interesting study in Scripture. How many times the Lord uses 3 days for things in Scripture? Just think through that. The different places in Scripture. One place is back in Exodus chapter 19. Remember where the Lord's going to come down on the mount? Mount Sinai there? And He's going to come down as a fire and the whole mountain's going to shake and the smoke is going to be rolling from the fire. He's going to show the people His presence from a distance there. And He says, I'm going to come down in 3 days and I want you to prepare yourselves. I want you to wash your clothes. Hey, I want you to clean up. Be ready to meet with God. Don't touch the mountain. And He gives them specific instructions there. 3 days of warning there to prepare. I think of the book of Esther. Esther chapter 4. Remember Esther asked Mordecai. She said, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. You know, 3 days, once again, Esther asked, fast and pray with me for 3 days that God Almighty would work. You know, I think of Jonah. 3 days in the fish's belly. That is a life-changing experience. 3 days there. You think about that. You think in Acts chapter 9 when Saul was converted, when the Apostle Paul was converted. He was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat or drink. And then there was a certain disciple named Ananias that the Lord brought to him. Interesting, just 3 days. Of course, the Lord rose from the dead, Lord Jesus Christ, on the third day. And that's just an interesting thought there, just kind of a side note. I don't think there's anything magical about 3 days. But it's interesting, as God calls us to things, often He gives us kind of the ramp to work through. And as we think about this, for some things, I think it's wise for us to take time to fast and to pray. You know, just as things come up, you know, you want to solve it. You want to solve the problem right away. But hey, are we willing to wait on the Lord and to take time to fast and to pray and to seek Him? Lord, what would You have me to do? But then also, I think in Scripture as we see this, it's something that we can be wise in, and that is giving people time to work through things. You know, sometimes we need time just to work through things. I call it the ramp. You know, I have parents who come and meet with me and want to put their kids in the school. And I'm like, have you talked with your kids about it? What do they think about this? Well, we haven't told them yet. And they may be shocked. You know, they've been at a certain school for 5 years. And if you're a teenager and your parents tell, we're going to switch schools next year. What's the first thing a teenager thinks of? All their friends that they've had all these years. And it can be a tough change. And I talk with them and, you know, you pray about it. You think about it. You talk it over with your child. But, hey, don't be surprised if you get some resistance at first. I'm the same way. We kind of resist change. We have to work through things. And this is kind of a side note, but one of the things we learned early on as parents, we were in a young married Sunday school class, and the teacher gave us some great advice. You know, if you're at someone's house and your kids are having a great time, they're playing, or you're at a relative's house or whatever, how many times do you tell them, okay, kids, it's time to go? And what do? Especially when they're young. They throw a fit. They don't want to leave. It's their worst behavior ever right there, right? Well, kids are like us. If you're having a good time, do you like someone just to come and pull the rug out from under your feet? All right, we're out of here. Let's go. And so one of the things we learned, give them a ramp. Give them a 10-minute warning. Hey, kids, hey, keep playing. We're going to leave, though, in 10 minutes. I want to give you a warning. Finish up what you're doing. Or give them 5 minutes. Hey, we're going to be taking off in 5 minutes. So they can play a little longer. And they know it's coming. It's helpful to us as people, as humans. You know, it helps to work through things. Give people a ramp. And the Lord does that with the children of Israel here. It's interesting here. So they had to work a few days and get some things ready. Now think about this. So God told them, we're going to go over the Jordan River, or we're going to pass over this Jordan, He says, within 3 days. Now think about this. Notice what He does not tell them here, though. How are we going to pass over this Jordan? That's interesting. He says nothing about that at this point. So picture this. You're getting your things ready, like you're instructed to do. You're following your leader there from your tribe, the instruction he's given to you. You know, I'd be thinking, okay, are we going by boat? How are we going to get across this river? Are we going to swim for it? You know, are we going to find a shallower spot where we can all kind of wade through? He doesn't tell them that at this point. You think there might be some fears here that people are experiencing? Is they're thinking through, okay, what's going to happen? How are we going to pass over here? You know, I'm sure they have to work through some things here. Some questions. But the key for the people at this point was just obedience and trusting the Lord and how He would take care of it. And notice the fourth P here in this verse. Notice this. He says here, you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land. The fourth thing there, possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. You're not just going to conquer everyone. The Lord's going to give it to you. The Lord's going to do the battle. Hey, this is the end goal here. The Lord has had this prepared for you for years. From way back in Genesis 15, He promised it to Abraham. Now go in and possess it. This is what we're headed for. This is the mission. This is what God has called us to do. This is the inheritance He's promised. A land of our own as a nation. This is our time. Let's move forward and take it. And so this is the command that Joshua gives the people. Now, look with me at verse 12 here. Now Joshua turns to a specific group. And look with me, he says, "And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spake, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land." And he gives specific instruction, and we won't take the time to read all this there. But if you recall back in Numbers chapter 32, if you want to flip back there just for a minute here, I think it'll help us. Numbers 32. These folks made a choice back here in Numbers 32. And I think there are some key words here in this passage to see. Numbers 32, the first few verses. Okay, the children of Israel have been traveling in the wilderness here, just kind of wandering in the wilderness for a number of years. And now they come to the east side of the Jordan. They've probably been journeying, you read through the commentaries, probably about 39 years at this point. So think of this. They have seen barrenness. They've been in the desert. They've been in the wilderness for 39 years. That's what they've seen. And now they come to this river near the Jordan, this area near the Jordan River, and it's fertile. It's green. It's totally different looking. And notice chapter 32 here in Numbers in verse 1. Now the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. That the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation. And notice what they say here in verse 4. Even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle. And thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession. And bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad, to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Can you imagine this? Can you imagine how this would strike Moses? God promised this special land, a land flowing with milk and honey, where there would be wells that we didn't have to dig and trees we didn't have to plant. It was a good land. God promised this to them. And they'd been wandering and they came to this other area and this looked pretty good to them. And they're like, we'll take this instead. Yeah, we know God promised this, but we'll take this. Moses, how about if we take this? You know, they made a choice that was not God's best for them. But God allowed this for them. And so this was the passage. So Moses made a deal with them. Okay, you can have this land, but here's what's going to happen. When we go into the promised land, you guys have to fight with us until we conquer the land, and then you can return. And so this is the group here, a group that had made a choice to settle for less than God's best, I believe. They put their cattle in front of God's perfect plan for their lives. I think they put their cattle in front of their families here because God had blessed them. And they had settled for something here less than God's best. Well, back in Joshua chapter 1 now, Joshua's telling the people, okay, here's the deal. Verse 14, your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God hath given them. Then shall you return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sun rising. So there's the instruction given to these folks that had made a a poor choice and settled for less than God's best. But notice their response here. This is so important. Please notice this with me. Verse 16, "And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go." Hey, everywhere you send us, we're going to go. Whatever you call us to do, we'll do it. What a great response. What a great response from these folks to Joshua. Hey, these were folks that before hadn't always made the best choices. But isn't it great to see their response here? Now, I have to say this. Look at the next verse with me, because this kind of cracks me up. I have to laugh. Maybe it's just me. Verse 17, they say, "According as we have hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee." And I think, okay, did you guys hearken unto Moses in all things? You know, that wouldn't comfort me too much if I was Joshua. But these folks say this. They say, okay, we will go wherever you need us to go, and we'll do whatever you need us to do. You know, that's what we preach to our young people. You know, are you willing to go? We're just coming off of a missions conference. I want our young people to be willing. Hey, if God calls you to be a missionary, I want you to be a missionary. If God calls you to Florida, go to Florida. I want them to be willing to do whatever God wants them to do. And isn't it that easy to preach that to the young people? But what about us? To become a little more settled in life. A little more comfortable. You know, it's harder to move. But are we willing to do whatever God calls us to do? You know, about 20 years ago, my parents were in the midst of transitioning churches. The church they had been at for many, many years had really gone a different direction. And they knew it was time. They probably even stayed a little too long there, but it's hard to leave. And so they were trying out some different churches. And we over the course of a couple of years there, we visited a couple of churches while we were visiting them. We ended up visiting a couple of different churches with them. We went to one church, and just kind of a funny story, the preacher just yelled the whole time. I mean, just screamed the whole message. After the message, Samuel was just a youngster at the time, where the pastor comes up and greets us, and we talk to him just for a minute. Samuel says, "Doesn't your voice get tired of screaming the whole time? How does your voice do that?" And we're like, Samuel. Okay, but anyway, they did not end up joining that church. But we went to another church with them another time. It was just a small country church. It was a church I knew about it growing up, a small town in Indiana. They'd had some tough times. It was just a small church. We went there and visited. There were probably 30 people there in the church, very small. They even had a Christian school, probably about 10 kids in the school, very, very small ministry. And you know, as the speaker was speaking there, as the preacher was preaching there, I don't know, the Lord was just speaking to my heart and just, okay, as we were sitting there, I was thinking, okay, Lord, what if you called me to this ministry? Would I be willing to go? You know, we were pretty settled in South Bend, Indiana at the time, and we had our house and we had a job and we were happy there and we had friends. But, you know, the Lord just kind of smote me. Lord, would I be willing to go to a ministry like that? Lord, am I willing to do whatever you want me to do? What if you called me there? I remember thinking, what if you called me to a city? What if you called me to a different country? And the Lord just kind of smote me there. You know, am I willing to do anything you want me to do? And this was way before the invitation, but the Lord was working in my heart. And I just yielded to the Lord. It's like, Lord, I would come here. I would. I'd go to a city. I would go to a country, a different country. You know, it could be tough. I admit that. And little did I know that within like the next 5 years or so or whatever, the Lord would be moving us to a city. And we aren't city folks necessarily. But you know what? God knew. God was working in my heart. And oh, that I don't want to lose that. Am I willing to do whatever God wants me to do? Am I willing to go wherever God wants me to go? You know, we had a great missions conference last week. I pray that that is where we are tonight. You know, maybe God's working in your heart. Maybe He's talking just getting involved in some ministry in church here. Am I willing to do that? You want to know the most valuable church members? I mean, willing to, hey, Pastor, how can I serve? Where do you need help? You know, if you ask me to do this, I'll be happy to do that. Are we willing? The answer of these folks, even though they had failed before, even though their choices hadn't been the best in the past, the spirit here they have and the answer they give is awesome. And you know what's even better? If you look ahead a few chapters here in this book, they held true to their word. They came through with this. What a beautiful thing. Joshua 22 verses 1 through 6, they honored their word. And they were there faithful until they defeated all the foes of the promised land. And then they went back. And I know they pulled out some stones even as a memorial. And it caused a little dissension there with the children of Israel. But their motives were pure in that. To their credit, they were faithful. You know, I think each of us could say we've made some choices that were less than God's best for us in the past. But isn't it wonderful to know that, hey, we can go from where we are tonight. Lord, I'll do whatever You want me to do. I'm willing to do anything. Lord, wherever You want me to go, I'm willing. And you know, as we close here this evening, that is my heart's prayer and desire as we think through this passage. You know, it's time to move forward. It's time to go. Let's not turn back now. It's time to step up. And let's go. And so the thought of the entire nation of Israel crossing a river together is a huge thought. And we see the importance of leadership and the importance of preparation and the importance of obedience and just being willing. Hey, not asking questions, just let's go. We'll go. And the importance of following through on their word here this evening. We'll do whatever. We'll go wherever. I pray that that is where we are this evening. You know, we don't know what kind of deep waters the Lord will take us through, what kind of places He'll call us to, but God wants to use each of us here this evening. And I pray we would not resist Him, but that we would yield to what He has for us here this evening. All right. Thank you for your good attention this evening. Kind of a different passage here. Enjoyed studying that. Hadn't studied those verses, those particular verses. The first part of the chapter, those verses just jump out at you. Great verses. But these passages, this passage, the Lord really used this to speak to me and just to make sure I am yielded to Him and whatever. Let's close in prayer and then we'll be dismissed here. Father, thank You. Thank You that You are patient with us. And Lord, we don't want to be presumptuous as far as the goodness and the forgiveness of the Lord. But Lord, thank You. You don't give up on us. And Lord, as we go forward from here this evening, even this evening, may our hearts be yielded to You. May we be willing to do whatever You call us to do. So good to be able to look back and to see what You've done in the past with the children of Israel and in our own lives. And Lord, help us to press forward. Help us not to be weary. Help us not to be fearful. Help us to go forward by faith in Your plan and what You would have for us. Lord, in the different positions You put us, Lord, help us to be good leaders. Help us to lead our families well. Help us to lead different areas of ministry. Lord, help us to lead at work well. Just the different positions You put us in, different folks represented here. Lord, may we have a vision of where what You would have for us and where You want us to be. Lord, may we know Your word and be obedient to Your word. And may we move forward by faith. Just help us this week when our faith is small. Pray that You'd use us greatly now. Take us home safely, and we pray this in Jesus' name.